It's not because we have a shortage of employees. It's because people are calling in and taking off work, correct? I mean, that's why there's all this overtime. Not because we're not filling FTEs. It's because of people taking time off. I mean, can you clarify that?
That particular workforce over there, 80% is on intermittent FMLA, which means they can call out once a week, twice a week. They have a doctor's excuse. And so in order to make up those routes, we've had to cancel routes at some time, some days.
The what now? This is at the budget meeting. Escambia County Commission had their budget meeting on Tuesday, and they were talking about all kinds of different things. And the topic of the flex transit or micro transit for ECAD had come up. And Wes Moreno there, County Administrator, and Lumen May were talking about the problem of 80% of the workforce at ECAD is on intermittent FMLA. And that's why you're having this challenge of staffing. So let's start there. Wes Moreno, he's County Administrator at Escambia County. Wes, as always, thank you so much for the time joining us before we have a meeting. Today you get a double dose. You got the meeting with the city, and then you got the regular meeting tonight. But welcome back to the show, first of all, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew. As always, it's great to be here.
Hey, great to have you. So before we get to the good stuff on the Flex Transit, which you and I talked about before, and I think is a wonderful program, can you explain this? Because this seems just outrageous to me that I don't really know what intermittent FMLA means, but this sounds like a huge problem.
Yeah, Family Medical Leave Act is what it is, and there's two ways to implement it, or that there are two ways to take advantage of it. One is if I'm going out for surgery, say I've got to have my big toe operated on or something of that nature, and I'm going to be off more than 3 days, I'll go on FMLA with the doctor's excuse with an expected time to return. And then I'll bring a doctor's excuse back, clear me to come back to work. Say I'm off a week or 2 weeks, 10 days, whatever it is.
Right.
And then the other option is what they call intermittent FMLA, where you may have something chronic, or maybe a family member has something chronic going on, and you bring your documentation in, and the doctor recommends you to be on what they call intermittent FMLA, which means that you may wake up this morning and say, well, I'm feeling this particular issue that I'm dealing with, so I'm not going in today. So they call out. And I don't know why it's so widely rampant over at ECAT. I mean, I'm not saying it's a bad program. It does certainly has its place. But when you have 80% of your workforce on intermittent FMLA, it's hard to schedule. It's hard to manage. And as I said in the meeting, there was one weekend we had to cancel some routes because people just called out. And so it does make it difficult, and it is a challenge.
Yeah, it makes sense why. I mean, I knew what regular FMLA was. I didn't know what intermittent was, but it makes sense. You or a family member, I get it. But that is a huge – what's a normal percentage in, like, other workforces that you have across the county? I mean, if I had to take a stab, I'd say it's more like 20% or something. But what is the normal?
I would say it's maybe not even that high. I know when I was at Public Works, we had over 200 employees there. I may have three on intermittent FMLA,
right,
or maybe two.
Right.
It's just not a large number, usually not on intermittent FMLA. And so, the thing is, if you don't have leave time, you don't get paid. And so typically what happens is, they'll build up a couple of days and all of a sudden, I'm calling out. And if you go to look at the leave balances, and that's not just ECAD, I mean, it could be any department, but you go look at the leave balances of some of those employees, and they may, at Public Works, I had some there 10 years, and they may have 5 hours of annual leave, they just don't do a very good job of managing their leave or managing their attendance, if you will.
Okay. Well, I mean, this seems like a problem. I don't know what the source of it would be either. It sounds like a cultural problem in the sense of, there's somehow leadership has allowed this to develop over the years. And I know the county kind of acquired, the union, it used to be out of house, now it's in house and all of that. But I guess switching a little bit to the same subject, but slightly different one, which is the Flex Transit. That's the vans that you basically call for on your app, which sounds like it's working gangbusters. And based on what I understood from the conversation, you have people want to drive. All they have to have is a driver's license. People want the work. They show up. you just don't have this same problem. So as we're trying to create a more nimble, cost-effective public transit system, we're kind of solving the problem because we're moving to people who want to do the work. Am I reading the situation correctly?
Yeah. Yeah. So right now we're using temporary labor, temporary drivers, if you will.
Okay.
To drive the vehicles and
like to study the situation and see what you
yeah,
get.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. We're in the pilot program, and so we, you know, that group is excited. They show up. They want more hours. I mean, they're there. They want to drive. And the feedback from the ridership has been very, very positive. It just seems to be a better system, a better way of taking advantage of mass transit. We're actually going to order quite a few more of these vehicles
Great.
Here shortly. And we're going to spread it out throughout all of Escambia County. And as we do that successfully, you know, we'll see some change take place there in mass transit as far as the big buses and some route eliminations and some of those things. But it's been very positive. The feedback's been tremendous.
Wow. I mean, competition, better service. I mean, I all around sounds like a great thing. So I'm excited about. I was looking over the agenda yesterday. I saw something on the agenda, and when I saw it, I about fell off my chair because I thought, oh, my God, finally. The Paradise yeah. Beach Fire Station land swap deal for the old Station 20 got closed down years ago, and the Navy, we're actually voting on that today?
We are voting on that tonight, yep. That would be the last step in transferring that property over to Escambia County. As you heard Commissioner Hoffberger a couple weeks ago with the fire station initiative, which we're already moving in that direction to bring that to fruition. So we also are closing on a piece of property with waste management for Pleasant Grove. So there's some things shaping up there in fire services for new fire houses. But the thing with the Navy is a big deal. It's been a long time in the works. There's been a lot of red tape, if you will. And the staff's done a great job working through it all step by step. But that is going to be a huge game changer for the folks in Paradise Beach area.
Oh, that's amazing. And you and I for years have been talking about this. And so this goes back many, you know, politicians ago and many administrations. And so that's great to see this actually coming to fruition. Another, I think, very substantial topic on the agenda tonight is you have the MSBU changes for fire service. And if I understand this correctly, and you correct me if I'm wrong, basically the mainland is going to about double. It's going to go from 125 to 227 a year, and then the island is going to become its own entity where SRIA is collecting, again, correct me if I'm wrong, 75% of the lease fee instead of 50%. The extra money is going to go to pay the county for whatever the cost of fire service on the beach is, so they're basically being treated like kind of their own independent entity that's contracting with fire service for the county. Do I have that right?
That is exactly right. That's what's going to happen. And I'd have to give a huge shout-out to Mike Burns, executive director. They're the Island Authority. He's really done a great job helping us out with this issue. And I think it's a win-win for the folks out on the beach and the leaseholders. And it's a good thing here on the mainland. I mean, I know it's an increase. You know, we very rarely, very seldom ever increase what we would call a tax or a fee, but in this case, with fire services and all of the expansion and growth, we just had to have this conversation. And so I'm hoping for good things tonight at the meeting as far as getting these things approved.
Two kind of detailed questions. One is, I thought I heard you say early in the meeting that the fire service changes were not built into the budget for next year. Does that mean that they don't go into effect when they're voted on, or they just weren't factored into the numbers?
So for the budget workshop, what we had built in, because we didn't know, we don't even right now. I mean, I expect that the MSBU increase will pass.
Okay.
But because it hasn't been to a vote, you know, it was not, that increase was not built into the budget as it sits.
Got it.
If it is passed, and then we'll take that transfer out of the general fund and put it back, probably into reserves or some of it into reserves. A lot of it's going to go as a set aside to pay for other public safety things in the future. You know, next year, the sheriff's budget and corrections and fire and EMS, you know, we'll have it set aside, and then we'll replace it with the MSBU fees.
Do you know offhand what that about $100 individual increase, what that's going to revenue for the county? What's the ballpark for the change, the delta in funding for ECFR?
It's a little bit more than what we're transferring right now, so probably about 12 to 14 million.
Okay, and will that cover the current cost?
That will cover the current cost. Okay. Actually, I think we'll get about 8 to 10 years out of this.
Okay, and is there a build-in for increases in the future, or is this a flat fee that's going to stay there until they change the fee?
This is a flat fee that'll stay there until they change the fee.
Got it. Okay. All right. Very good. One of the other things I know is on the agenda for today is to talk about the study for traffic improvements on the beach, including the potential for developing a parking garage. I think it's about $600,000 for Mott McDonald. And, man, parking garages, I think the one that Florida West HCA built was like $40,000 a space. But that's one of the things they're going to look at, right?
It's not cheap. That is one of the things they're going to look at, how to bring traffic onto the island to include a parking garage structure. So how do we do that? What does it look like? What are the alternatives going to be? They'll bring all that to us, and we'll make some decisions at that time as to what's the best route to go or what's the best alternative. But as you know and the public knows, traffic onto the beach has grown immensely. You know, we have a record number of days, 25,000 cars plus.
Yeah.
And that's just the cars coming onto the island. That's not the folks that fly in and Uber to their hotel or condo. You know, it's just a lot of traffic moving parts and pieces out there on the island.
And since we're kind of in that vicinity, obviously it's Blue Angels weekend. Today is not the horrible day for traffic. I mean, it can be around 2 o'clock. It'll be probably after about 10. But tomorrow and Saturday, of course, are the real high peak days. In Santa Rosa County, the Navarre Beach Causeway, they turn into a northbound only lane starting at 3 o'clock, and then it goes for about 2 hours until traffic clears from the Blue Angels show, but the practice even. That's tomorrow and Saturday. I assume, but you tell me if I'm wrong, we can't really do that on Bob Sykes Bridge because it's two bridges, and the way the roads are configured to try to run all traffic northbound on those four lanes, especially the way it interacts with Highway 98 at the Sailfish sign, like, there's just no way to do it. I assume if it could be done, you would do it.
Yeah, you're right. There's just no way feasible to be able to do that. The effect, traffic coming off 98, traffic coming off the Bay Bridge, and Gulf Breeze, and there's just no way to really accomplish that and still maintain ingress and egress, you know, emergency vehicles or whatever had to trying to get on the beach or off the beach for that matter.
Right. Yeah, and because, I mean, I at first I thought, oh, that would be great. Why don't we? And I'm like, as soon as I said it, I'm like, I know why we don't do that, because you just can't do it with the way the roads are built. Any quick words you want to say as we're running out of time here, Wes Moreno, for the folks this weekend? Obviously, your staff always does fantastic work out on the beach, cleaning up, keeping everybody safe, messaging to the newcomers and all of that kind of stuff. But and even this year, you've got that that boat exclusion zone, so you have better access for the first responders, which I think was a great idea, good improvement, because that back sound side gets so crowded, obviously, for the show. But anything you want to say about the weekend?
Just, Friday, Saturday, get there early. If you know you're going, get there early. Bring plenty of water, plenty of Gatorade, Powerade, stay hydrated. Listen to the first responders. Listen to the water safety, the lifeguards. Don't be argumentative. Comply with them. They're there for your safety. You know, this year we have almost a mobile hospital set up out there with our new medical director, Dr. Abo, and Chris Watts, the EMS chief, doing a fantastic job out there. Dave Greenwood and his folks will be doing a fantastic job. If you have any problems, don't hesitate to ask them a question. They're there to help you. And bring plenty of patients with you. Just be patient. There'll be a lot of people out there.
Pack the extra patients anywhere you can find it. Wes Moreno, he is the county administrator for Escambia County. Wes, looking forward to the discussion this morning for the Bay Sender. And then tonight, of course, so many things, even some that we didn't quite get to. A lot of stuff on the agenda tonight. Thanks, as always, for the time. I know you got a long day ahead of you, but thanks for spending a few minutes with us this morning. I appreciate it.
All right, Andrew. We'll see you now.